I am Daniel White, the third, president of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode 46. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission. Our strategic Christian leadership Bible verse for this episode is Jeremiah 29:1. That's Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Our strategic Christian leadership quote for this episode is from Nelson Mandela. He said, "A leader is like a shepherd. He stays behind the flock, letting the most nimble go out ahead, whereupon the others follow, not realizing that all along they are being directed from behind." In this podcast, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders, by Aubrey Malfers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less, by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. If you enjoy this podcast and you appreciate what we're doing here, please feel free to purchase a copy of these books from our website at podcastpulpit.com. Our topic today is part 10 of chapter 3, Reality, Keep It Real, from Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less, by Dave Browning. He continues as follows: "What might keep a pastor doing the ministry himself instead of seeing that the ministry gets done? In this model, the pastor gets to come down off his pedestal and be a real person too. The pastor, like the others, wears an ingredients label that reads, 'Dust and Divine Spit.' He is made out of the same stuff and faces the same life issues. He has an important role, but he is not on a different level. He is free to be who he is in Christ. The weight of the church is not on his shoulders alone. When every believer is a minister, it creates a healthier body." Jesus intended not to build a religious organization, but to start a movement of real people to transform the spiritual landscape. Religious people and systems have always made things complicated for God. Religious institutions trend toward conformity and control. Instead of empowering people, they enslave them. While some church movements found their impetus in special revelation, the Deliberate Simplicity movement is grounded in common sense. Common sense is also a gift from God. It's just widely distributed. And maybe because it is so common, it is not esteemed. Familiarity breeds contempt. Deliberate Simplicity celebrates common sense solutions. In 1971, when Southwest Airlines appeared on the scene, they began issuing a ticket that resembled a bus ticket. The only problem was that passengers would often throw out the ticket with other receipts in their pocket. Southwest had meetings to discuss a solution, and there was a proposal put forth for a multi-million-dollar computerized ticketing system. During the discussion, a vice president came up with an alternate low-tech solution. He suggested printing across the ticket on both ends. This is a ticket. Southwest tried it, and it worked. Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com believes in the power of being simple-minded. In the face of complex choices, he relies primarily on common sense about what would be in the best interests of his customers. One night, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went camping. In the middle of the night, Holmes woke up and saw the stars shining above him. He called out to Watson, "What does seeing the stars in the middle of the night mean to you?" Watson awoke and gazed at the sky and then said, "Infinity is sometimes incomprehensible and sometimes comprehensible. We are but a speck in the universe, yet we are blessed with a thing called consciousness." "Watson, you idiot," interrupted Holmes. "It means that someone stole our tent." You're thinking too hard. Stay simple-minded. I fear that the modern church is more like Watson than Holmes. We have turned church growth into a science. We have extensive rationalizations and permutations. We have demographic studies. We know our parking ratios. We have theories of ingress and egress. But we are missing out on the simple relational aspects of ministry that are life-changing. Christianity is not a religion, it's a lifestyle. It's the difference between attending a car show and being in the automobile garage with the hood up. Christ came to set us free, to work on our stuff. The protocol, tradition, formalities, and observances of religious systems get in the way of the work we need to do and that we need done. Reggie McNeil said, "The church culture has been confused with biblical Christianity, both inside the church and outside of the church. In reality, the church culture in North America is a vestige of the original movement, an institutional expression of religion that is in part a civil religion and in part a club where religious people can hang out with other people whose politics, worldview, and lifestyle match theirs." As he hung on the cross, Jesus probably never thought the impact of his sacrifice would be reduced to an invitation for people to join and support an institution, and oftentimes a dead institution. George Bonner said, "Jesus did not die on the cross to fill church auditoriums, to enable magnificent church campuses to be funded, or to motivate people to implement innovative programs. He died because he loves you and me. He wants an everlasting relationship with us, and he expects that connection with us to be so all-consuming that we become wholly transformed Jesus clones, if you will indulge the expression. In response to religiosity, the first thing we need is a dynamic, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. The last thing we need is any substitute. And dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what our hearts have felt today and what we have learned. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would help us to apply all that we have learned here today. Help us to be simple enough to see the big picture of what you're doing. Help us to keep it real. Help us to live in reality. And help us to be deliberate in our simplicity. Help us not to be so far, help us not to be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ, as Paul admonished us. And help us to understand that we can do more by doing less for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for our sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.